all arguments according to Aristotle which are true are nothing but statements in which predicates are shown to be part of the subject, and therefore in a certain sense all of them are tautologies or identities, therefore they are true. This is one of the best ways of finding out whether argument is valid or not. In any case, there are certain predicates which are absolutely identical with the subject, in which I say all men are men. The predicate is exactly identical with the subject. But there are certain predicates which are not completely identical with the subject, but which are part of the subject. If I say that all crows are black, all crows are black, it is not that black is equal to all crows. That is not true. But blackness is a part of all the crows. In other words, a predicate should be either identical with the subject or it should be a part of the subject. But even if you show it is identical, it does not necessarily prove. If I say simply God is God, does it amount to the proof of existence of God? Proposition is true, God is God. The predicate is God, subject is God. Does it prove the existence of God? So mere tautology is not a proof. It may be true. It only means that the word God is the word God. That is all it proves. It doesn't prove that God exists. Therefore, all those who believe in ontological argument, they say that existence is a part of God. And you see all the arguments, I gave you the example of Anselm and of Descartes. Perfection is that which includes everything. Existence is something, therefore existence must be part of God, therefore God exists. Anselm's argument also you examine, is the same thing, in which existence is shown to be a predicate, is a part of God. God is than whom greater cannot be conceived. God who is only an idea is lesser than God who is also has existence. That means existence is a part of God. Therefore God exists. In both the arguments you will find that existence has been treated as a predicate. A predicate in the sense it is a part of the subject. Now, Kant pointed out that the very nature of existence is such that existence can never be a predicate. Now, if he can prove this statement, then whole argument falls. If existence can never be a part, cannot be a predicate, you remember I started this whole discussion of this argument in the second part of my exposition. My first part of the exposition was nothing exists. Second statement was existence is not only what can be conceived, but the only thing that can be conceived. That was my second part. And then I asked the question, let us examine the nature of existence. And then I came to these arguments, and my purpose was to examine the nature of existence. And now this is a crucial point which you have come now, when Kant says, existence is not a predicate. His famous example was $100 in imagination are not less than $100 in existence. I shall repeat. $100 in imagination are not less than $100 in existence. When $100 come into existence, do they become 101? If existence was a predicate, it would have added something. Predicate is something which adds to the subject. So he says $100 in imagination are also 100. $100 in existence also are 100. This shows that existence is not a predicate. Existence is something quite different. So if existence is not a predicate, the whole argument is demolished. Unfortunately, Kant did not tell us what is existence. If it's not a predicate, he should have told us what it is then. And that was our question with which started, what is existence? Therefore, the history of argument of regarding God has remained incomplete in the Western thought. After this, after Kant, there have been some criticism of the ontological argument. When Bertrand Russell, for example, he has taken up this very question and follows basically Kant in showing that existence is not a predicate. But what is existence itself? What is the nature of existence? That has not been discussed further, and that is where the Western thought is still resting over there. You might see in an inconclusive state. Many philosophers of the West may not think that it is at the resting point, at an inconclusive stage. They may think that they have debunked the philosophy of God, and that is the end of the matter. The argument which was placed before the mankind to prove the existence of God has been proved to be wrong, and that ends the matter. Therefore, God, about God don't discuss, because it is not proved. But the examination of the nature of existence, what is existence? There have been many new theories which have come up, into which I will not take you just now, because it is a very complicated matter and not very necessary just now for our purposes. The only answer is, existence is that which alone can be conceived. Existence is such a thing. Existence is that which alone can be conceived. The rest cannot be conceived at all. The statement with which I started, nothing exists. Existence is not only that can be conceived, but is the only thing that can be conceived, is now being reiterated. In other words, my statement is, existence is not a predicate, it is true. Existence is the only subject, not only subject, but the only subject. The idea of proving God by regarding existence as a predicate of God is not on the right lines. You should say, existence is God, not God exists. Existence is God. What is God? God is not something which is apart from existence. That whole idea that God may be apart from existence and therefore existence can be proved of God is itself a wrong process. Existence himself is God. And existence is that which alone can be conceived, therefore rationally proved. that which is the only thing that can be conceived, therefore rationally proved. This, you might say, is one of the basic elements in this chapter number 9. It was only to clarify this that I took you to this abstract and difficult terrain. I think I'll stop here today, and we shall continue next time.